Well, hello, everyone, and good Saturday to all. Dave Spadaro with you here in our Xfinity studio. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and, of course, the Monday game means that a Saturday is a Friday, so Andy Reid will be along in about an hour to meet the media and give us some updates, and there are some important updates that we need to know. Let's get you caught up on the headlines. Hope everybody is off to a great Eagles weekend. Let's get them going here. Nate Allen, nursing a hamstring injury, suffered the other day in practice. He missed Friday's practice. We'll get you updated to see if he's out there today. Of course, the media not permitted on the practice field any longer. It's okay. I'm handling it. And you know, yesterday, the big news, Darren Sproles out. Surgery on his hand. That's a big loss. And so how does Todd Bowles and the Eagles defense, how do they react to it? Because you really have to game plan with Sproles in the passing game, especially the screen game, killer. And, of course, in the kick return game, terrific player. Mike Patterson, expected to be on the 53-man roster, could be announced today. If so, Eagles will have to make room on that roster, the active roster, for him. So what would happen if, in fact, that decision is made today? The Eagles leave tomorrow for New Orleans. Monday Night Football on ESPN at PHL 17 in Philadelphia. 3-4 Eagles against the 2-5 Saints. And our game day coverage is really game night coverage. Starts at 8 p.m. with our kickoff show live. It'll be Chris McPherson, Adam Kaplan at the NovaCare Complex, and then Dave Spadaro, as I speak about myself in the third person, along with Chris McPherson in Nolens at the Superdome. The Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We're going to start the day with a phone call. I don't care. You think I can read that, really? Chris in Virginia joins us. Hi, Chris.
What's up, Spuds?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. You know, just waiting for game day to get here.
You know, it speaks to your questionable life that you're tuned in on a Saturday here. I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, I'm tuned in as always. If I'm not working, as I always say, I'm on the show, on the chat. You know it.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, always, man. Thanks. You for everything you guys do.
Thank you. We have to announce today. I have to announce today who won the fan photo. All right, so Chris, let's see. We're 2 days away here. Any thoughts?
I just want to see the team show up. Actually, you know what? I want to see the team start out quick.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
I mean, you know, I'm just so frustrated by that part of it, by an Eagles team that over the last 13 seasons really have gotten used to this team being an offensive force early in games, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a couple seasons where we led the league in first drive points, I think.
Yeah, and also they've done well at the end. They've still done pretty well late in the first half this year, scoring points obviously late in the game they've done well, but just that early momentum-generating couple of drives hasn't been there, so I agree with you. That's really what I want to see. I want to see that lead in New Orleans.
Exactly. Lead, maybe that's the spark we need, you know, get things going here.
Yes, sir. Now, you are calling because you are ready to make a prediction, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a prediction, and then after my prediction, I'm going to leave you the one thing before I go.
Okay.
I'm going to go 28-21.
Okay.
And then here's one thing before I go that someone wants to say something as usual.
Okay.
You're telling me there's a chance.
That's exactly right.
Get going, Dave. Take it easy, man.
There's always a chance, Chris. We love it. And Jim Carrey, we'll just keep going back to that one as much as we can. Thanks for the call, Chris. I'm telling you there's a chance. I mean, I don't care what the numbers say. We've been talking about it all week. I am of the belief that this is a difficult game, a road game. I know Darren Sproles isn't playing. I know the Saints defense is ranked 32nd in the league. Got it. I tend to throw numbers out. I guess I just don't know enough about this football team. You know? I just don't know enough about this football team. I guess I do know enough. It's 3-4 team. Got to show me something on Monday night. All right, let's go to New York and talk to the Zompster. Zompy, thanks for joining us.
How about those birds, baby?
Thank you. Got your momentum back, buddy. Got your enthusiasm back.
Oh, man. Saturday, man. Afternoon. Working. Pretending nice. I'm working. Watching Eagles Live, baby.
Yeah, is it? Hey, we're all working on Saturday, right?
We're
working brotherhood on Saturday on weekends.
Yo, man. I feel good, man. I feel really good, man. How much can we take into consideration about Mike Vick saying he's going to go back to being old Mike Vick?
It's a really good question. You know, Zomb, I think he's kind of said that at times throughout the year. And then you look on game days and you see a little bit of indecision, that moment's hesitation, getting run down from behind a couple of times by defensive linemen or linebackers. So maybe that's an indication that there's that delay in making a move. Maybe in this game, he looks at his first read, it's not there, and he takes off. Maybe he's been sitting in the pocket, going through his progressions, and then taking off, and maybe that's just it's just too much time in the pocket. I don't know.
I mean, for him to say, I'm not gonna, I can't cater to people, and I gotta play football the way I know how to play football. That, I'm not gonna lie, pump me up because I'm like, when he was like that, it's like, come on, man, it's like he was unstoppable, and he's getting hit now. At least take, go for a run. Be old Vic, be vintage Vic, and if you get hit, you get hit. You're getting hit now in the pocket anyway,
Well, and I know, Zomper, I think the original intent of all this was for him to not get hit and to stay in the pocket and to
to help him out. Yeah, I agree.
And to make a touchdown, Temple. Sorry, guys, I'm watching a little football. Temple in Louisville. I don't care. But
forget
I think
about the Temple, man. Forget about Temple. No, I'm just joking.
Hey, stop that. I've got college love too. But I think the original intent was for him to stay in the pocket and get rid of the football quickly. He hasn't been getting rid of the football as quickly as we want now. He did last week against the Falcons. But what was missing then, Zomp, is the big play element in the Eagles' offensive game plan.
Agreed. But did you happen to see the Jaws clip on YouTube by any chance?
I did not.
He said that, he was in his office, and he's like, I'm looking at the game between the Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. And he was like, it looked like they were doing short intermediate passes trying to get Mike Vick in a rhythm. And then he goes, just do what the Eagles do, which is go long and take your shots downfield, especially against the Saints. I have to agree with him. Man. Let's just take shots.
And that's what Adam Kaplan says. Now, to take shots, you got to have a pass protection scheme. You got to have a pocket, right?
I mean, what are you going to do? Play action, roll out, buy yourself some time?
Well, you could see that first play of the game, right? We've seen it against the Redskins a couple of years ago on Monday Night Football. We saw it a couple of other times here. The Redskins, was it last year? Play action, bootleg left, throw back down the right sideline. You could see that. I mean, maybe the Eagles take a shot early in the game. I don't know.
But
will a defense respect the play action? I think they will at this point. I think the Eagles understand that you got to get the ball to Sean McCoy, but if you can loosen up the defense, that's what you really want.
Can't agree more, man. And,
Are you okay with Hurricane Sandy? Everything all right with you up there in New York, Zomper?
I'm fine, man. I'm the Zomster, man. I'm happy. No, I lost electricity. I lost everything, man. I lost basically everything. So that's why I was a little upset during the week. But I got it back, though. Thank God, 2 days ago.
Okay, good.
Everybody good?
Everybody good down here. I think New York got it a lot worse than New York and New Jersey got it a lot worse than Pennsylvania.
I was hoping MetLife Stadium got hit hard, but it was unfortunate. And what do you think about that, man? You think the Giants are gonna, that's a big advantage for the Giants tomorrow? No vacancy for Pittsburgh. They got to fly in.
I think on the surface, yes, it's a big advantage for the Giants. However, sometimes when you're put into an adverse situation, it's a galvanizing thing. And so the Steelers go in there saying, all right, well, look, everybody thinks we're going to lose this game. Everybody thinks we're hard to. This is actually a chance for us to bond together and go in there. And it almost galvanizes the us against the world feeling just a little bit more. So
City of Philly, baby. We always got to – they always count us out. We got to overcome the odds, baby.
You picked 30,
I'm going to give an Eagles chant or what?
You picked 31-28, of course. 31,
yes, sir.
Okay, you're sticking with that. All right, give me the chant.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Let's go.
Oh, Zompy, thanks for getting us going on this Saturday. Beautiful stuff. All right, hot topic for the day. We'd like you to hit us with a tweet with the hashtag EaglesLife. Who is primed for a breakout game on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints? Tweet us with the hashtag EaglesLive. We'll get to it in just a bit. Andy Reid meets the media at about 1 o'clock. You know, we've been filling in this map of the United States, and actually of the world, of all the Eagles callers, and we wanted to update you on it and show you which countries in this election year, which states, which parts of the world, as the election just a few days away, are Eagles green. So you can see it's not bad. Need a little bit of help in the Midwest. Is that the North Midwest? Northwest? North Midwest. The Plains States, I guess it's called. So if you're out there on this Saturday and you're one of the, if you're an Eagles fan in the Dakotas, in Wyoming, Nebraska, Montana, is that West Virginia down there too? My goodness. What's the Northeast state? New Hampshire. Yeah, why is that? Okay, well, let's get some callers. All right, 215-339-6709. We've got Todd Harriman's Eagles right tackle looking back on that loss to Atlanta, looking ahead to Monday night against the New Orleans Saints.
The wait after the bye is always long. After a loss, it seems longer. After two losses, forever. Finally, the Eagles have an opportunity to show that they are alive and very much a factor in the NFC East.
Coming into the Falcons game, we were very rested and we had a great week of practice. You know, things were very snappy and quick. We were real confident going into the game.
You know, everyone says that this is the pivotal game for this regime. Well, you know what? They'll say the same thing next week because the games are so important.
Going into the game, I felt like the statement that we needed to make was show what kind of team we are.
I'm feeling it now today, baby. It's all day today. Yeah. It's all day today, bro. Yeah. It's time to show up and show out. Yes, show up and show out, yes, boy. Fall out of these boys. I don't know what time it is today. Hey, it's all how. It's all how we represent in our house.
The start of the game didn't quite go how we planned it to. You know, the Falcons came out, ate up most of the clock in the first quarter.
Atlanta on their opening drive, they're 3-for-3 on third down. Shotgun. Ryan looks right. He is going for the end zone, and it is caught. Is it a touchdown? Yes. It is a touchdown to a wide-open Drew Davis.
Our offense got off to a slow start. I think we went 3-and-out or 4-and-out for our first series, and before you know it, we were down 14-0 against an undefeated team, and they kind of got away from us quick.
It is second and goal from the 3. Ryan fakes, goes back, he dumps it off, and Stelling runs in for the easy touchdown.
We've been down before, but it's not a hole you want to start in.
And Atlanta, with 32 seconds to go in an agonizing first quarter, is about to go up 14-0. This has been awful.
The whole thing with our first scoring drive is, you know, we covered some good ground. We marched down the field on them like we had so many times earlier in the year. And we put the ball in the end zone.
Backlund goes in motion, comes back to the near side. The give to McCoy, and he is in for the touchdown! His fourth of the season!
We know in the right situation, we can go ahead and march down the field on these guys. We can move the ball on them. It was easy to do. You know, that's the kind of confidence that builds that first scoring drive to let us know. You know, they're not some unstoppable, unbeaten team.
Ryan in the shotgun. Atlanta leading 14-7. Back goes Ryan again. He loads up. He is going deep. And it is caught. And running down the far sideline and in for the touchdown is Julio Jones. Falcons have had 3 possessions and scored touchdowns on all 3.
Well, as a team, the Falcons seem to be very disciplined. You know, their offense and their defense all played together as one unit. You know, they're a very well-coached team. The balance was there. They played well.
Eagles going to their third straight defeat, the first time in the Andy Reid era that this team has come back and lost after the bye.
Well, as far as the state of the team right now, you know, we're all hanging together. It seems like you go through a point like this every year where you just need to block everything out and just lean on one another that's in the locker room with you, because they're the only ones that are going to help you get out of this situation.
Well, that will wrap things up for today. Next Monday night, the Eagles visit New Orleans. Mike and I will be at that not-so-Superdome to send you all the action.
Very crucial game coming up this week down in New Orleans. We're 3-4, coming off of a real tough loss. And we just need to go down there and play our game. This is very pivotal for both teams. We need to go down and make a statement. This is the perfect game to do it. Prime time, Monday night, us versus the Saints. You know, somebody's got to make a move.
Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Yo, we just scored. Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug.
We bought your seats, Doug.
Yay. Yay.
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show it to me.
There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to drink, let me get that. They don't know but our heart, man. They don't know but our heart. Hit everything. Give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. All in on three. One, two, three, all in.
Hey, Eagles fans. This is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, I'm Eagle safety Kirk Coleman. Fans in Pennsylvania can now drive the Eagles pride every day of the year with the new Eagles license plate. Each plate purchase helps the Eagles Youth Partnership support the kids in need throughout our region. Get yours today right here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All righty, welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you on this Saturday here at the NovaCare Complex. Of course, Monday night it all happens for the Eagles. Our coverage begins at 8:00. And by the way, between now and then, we will roll out all of the Eagles Television Network broadcasts from this week, and we hope you enjoy them between Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. All right, look, Hurricane Sandy, devastating to millions of people. The Eagles making a sizable contribution along with the NFL, and we need your help with our partnership with the American Red Cross. It's very important that not only with Hurricane Sandy, but during this holiday season, the blood supply is low, and now we need your help. The 5th Annual Philadelphia Eagles Blood Drive on Saturday, December 1st, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., Lincoln Financial Field, the SCA Club level. All presenting blood donors will receive a limited edition Todd Harriman's T-shirt. Six lucky donors will be randomly selected to win a pair of Eagles tickets to the 2013 season home opener and much, much more. Call or visit online to schedule your appointment today. Just go on to redcrossblood.org and help out there. So last week, obviously, not a good one for the Eagles. Whole new mood here at the NovaCare Complex on this Saturday. A lot of enthusiasm in the building, a lot of anticipation. You can feel the energy. So looking forward to big things on Monday night. Want to go back to Sunday, though, the loss to Atlanta, and get you as close as we can, get you inside the huddle, if you will. Actually, get you inside the jersey of LeSean McCoy as we mic him up. Two touchdown game for Shady McCoy.
Big day today, baby. Line 25, a lot of rain, line 25. It's a storm coming.
On Sunday, running back LeSean McCoy and the Eagles fans tried to rain on the parade of former teammate Asante Samuel.
Right now, the captains are meeting at the center of the field.
You know, Asante Samuel makes the call.
Oh, they moved him. Oh. Yo, he liked that. Hey, they the same team like last year was whooping up on them. Stayed up again. Start up again.
Big. in the shotgun. He's back. He looks. He starts to dash. He's being chased. He's stripped and he's sacked back at the 14. 1-2-3 and out.
See him.
And this is not a happy fan base.
Yeah, the safety, yeah, he came with 12. That's me. I didn't even see him. That's me.
McCoy cuts back at the 20 to the 15. McCoy with a bolt. They have opened up something for the running game. And LeSean Shady McCoy is capitalizing. The get to McCoy, and he is in for the touchdown.
And of course, Shady stiff arms Asante Samuel.
I'm glad you beat him. You and Asante tackle, I'd have been all over.
You know, the counter, you got to go where you think. You know, you saw it, you went.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. No, you did not.
All right.
Did you score a touchdown?
Yeah.
Well, then you didn't it up.
Back goes Ryan again. He is going deep.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is caught. And running down the far sideline and in for the touchdown is Julio Jones.
That ball put away.
This place is very, very quiet and understandably filled with disappointment.
Hey, let's go, O. Let's go. Let's get it. Come on, Selleck. Come on, I know you're riding. I know you're riding, big time.
Shady McCoy steps over a man, comes across the 20, the 25, and wills his way up to the 28. Vic again comes back to McCoy, cuts back at the 45, backs his way to the 50.
Now Shady getting the ball almost every play. Before this possession, he had 9 carries.
Shady McCoy is so good. He is such a good back, and he has operated with limited opportunities. Vic's back. He's looking. He shovels it off. It is Shady McCoy into the end zone. His second touchdown of the game and 5th of the season. If nothing else, we die hard. This has been a wet, chilly, disappointing afternoon. And finally, the game is over.
There you go. Terrible.
This was as bad as the score indicates.
Good game, Shady.
All righty, so you can see the ups and downs and ultimately more downs than ups last week against the Falcons. New day has dawned. 215-339-6709 if you call, have some questions, or want to get a prediction in for Monday night's game. In case you're late to the party here, let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day. There are some definite pieces of news that we are waiting on. Nate Allen missing practice on Friday. We'll get the word shortly on whether he is practicing today. If he can't go, the Eagles will go with David Sims at safety along with Kurt Coleman. Sims, of course, picked up in a trade with the Cleveland Browns prior to the start of the regular season. The Saints, wow, they lose Darren Sproles. Big loss, had hand surgery. He'll be out for this game. Kick return specialist, third down receiver, runner, just a big-time explosive player. Eagles will not miss Darren Sproles. Will Mike Patterson be up for this game? We'll find out shortly. I think today will be the day that Andy Reid would say, yes, he's playing, no, he's not playing. And more importantly, the Eagles would have to activate him to the 53-man roster and then would have to release somebody from the 53-man roster to make room for Patterson. Game day coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com begins at 8 p.m. on Monday night. All righty? There you go, 215-339-6709. Speaking of Monday night, if you are in the area here, we've got a great opportunity for you to meet up with the Eagles, the alumni, Bill Berge, Darwin Walker. It's our Miller Lite away game party, and we are actually going to have a big-time party. It's going to be a great time. Win a VIP experience at the party. You can hang out with Eagles fans, Darwin Walker, Bill Berge, a couple of distinguished Eagles alums, Swoop and the Eagles cheerleaders. It's Monday night, November 5th, for the Miller Lite away game party. Eagles will be in New Orleans taking on the Saints. We want you to be up in Lansdale, PA at the Blue Dog and our Monday night meetup sweepstakes for a new, improved, and kind of a cool VIP experience during the party. We feature that contest section of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. All right, Demaris Johnson will be returning punts for the Eagles. Who knows, maybe he'll get on the field as a wide receiver as well. Eagles spread the field, go after that Saints secondary. For Demaris, it is a chance to go back to his roots. New Orleans native, was the MVP of the state high school championship-winning football team. And we caught up with Demaris talking about the journey from there to the NFL.
I played my high school ball in Louisiana, Destrehan High School. We had a pretty good team, a lot of D1 guys. We ended up winning the state championship. We went 15-0. Going into college, I wasn't recruited by the big-time programs. Even though I was a four-star recruit coming in, I had offers to TCU, to Tulsa, to Illinois, to ULL. I chose to go to Tulsa. When I chose to go to Tulsa, everybody was like, man, well, why Tulsa? So, I mean, after a while, I got there for the first year. I sat there and I was like, I don't know why I chose to go to Tulsa. I used to wake up in my bed thinking about it. But I mean, now that I look back, I wouldn't change that for anything. My freshman year, I was a freshman All-American. My sophomore year, I was an honorable mention All-American. My junior year, I was a second team All-American. I didn't play my senior year. So I went into the draft after that. I didn't get drafted. I thought I would be. I ended up getting signed by the Philadelphia Eagles, which turned out to be great. I went through training camp, had a pretty good training camp. It feels good. I feel great. I feel like I'm at home here. I wouldn't change that for anything. And I definitely love being in Philadelphia. It's my new home now, and I'm just trying to move forward with that right now.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Can you feel that? Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to do, let me get that. They don't know what I hold, man. They don't know what I hold. Hit everything. Give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. All in on three. 1, 2, 3, all in.
Hey, Eagles fans. This is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Flacco backpedals. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him. Flacco takes the snap. He's back, he's looking, he fires, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted by the Eagles, and it's picked off by D'Amico Ryans. They say he's down on contact, but D'Amico Ryans with the pick.
Hey, it's D'Amico Ryans. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, everybody. Dave Spadaro with you here. 215-339-6709, the number. If you want to give us a call, talk a little Eagles-Saints. Big one for the Eagles. Is this the game, the make-or-break game for the Philadelphia Eagles, for Michael Vick, for this football team's playoff chances in 2012? A good week of practice. Team, a players-only meeting. Andy Reid staunchly behind quarterback Michael Vick. A lot of things have happened in the week that was. It's been such a long week, hasn't it? Seems like forever since the Eagles played, and we're finally closing in on Monday night's game. Team leaves for New Orleans tomorrow after its walkthrough, and then spend the night in New Orleans, and then a long day waiting for kickoff at the Superdome. Tough place to play for the Eagles. 500 team there in the history of their time against the New Orleans Saints on the road. So Tough place to play. Tough game for the Eagles to win, no matter what the records are. All right, one thing we want to play for you, kind of away from the game of football, it's kind of fun. You know, players, they take a lot of pride in their wheels, whether Trent Cole's riding the monster trucks or I think Brandon Graham has this sweet, sweet four-door Porsche, which I love. Danny Watkins got the fire truck. Well, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie has one of the most distinctive cars. Well, one of the most distinctive personalities, one of the most distinctive looks off the field. He is his own man, as evidenced by his wheels. Let's take a look.
Hello, world. This is Dominique Rogers-Cromartie of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about my ride. Starting off is a Chevy Camaro 2010. First, we're gonna talk about the color, which is pink and blue. Blue being my favorite color, pink being my second favorite color. And I looked on the internet and, you know, I looked up Camaros and saw what guys were doing to Camaros, and I knew this combination has not been done yet. So that's the reason why I went with the colors. And the reason I went with the Dub Edition, because they're my favorite rims. I have them on all my cars. So whenever you see me out, you're gonna see me with Dub Edition rims. They're size 28 Dub Edition. As you can see, the symbol inside. Chrome on the outside to reflect off the car. And I painted the background pink just to make the pink pop a little bit. I know me being a guy, you don't want too much pink, but I think the background itself makes the pink pop a little bit and give it not too much of a girly flavor. The main thing when I go to look at rims, I want them to be spinners. As long as they spin, they all right with me. I like the chrome because it helps the car out, so I added the chrome mirrors, and I even made my mirror chrome just to bring out the chrome in the rims. You walk around it, I got the grill redone. I also had a chrome with the pink emblem just to bring out the car. Another thing that I like about this car is not just the colors and the big rims. You know, what makes it unique is on a Camaro, you tend to just see the regular doors, but I went a little further and put the Lamborghini doors on them. Just to add a little flame to the car. So when it comes to the inside, you know, this is my favorite feature of the car because everything's entitled into the pink and blue scheme. You look at the seats, it's pink and blue leather on them, and the floor mats even have the 2.9 on the floor mat in blue. I have the DRC in the headrest, and I have the Showtime 29 in the back and Showtime 29 on the side. And the reason I got that is because when I was number 29, that's what they used to call me, Showtime. So I just put the phrase together and just put it on my car. And it's one of my show cars I have fun with. Don't drive it that much, but when I do drive it, I like to have fun with it. I feel like this car reflects my personality for the simple fact that, you know, it's loud. It's outgoing, and that's me. You know, I'm a person that's gonna wear a lot of loud colors. I'm outgoing, I love to talk. So I think that reflects on me because I'm all about fun and just living life. Well, it's been fun showing y'all my ride, but it's time for me to go. I'll see you next week.
The next feature will be on Dave Spadaro's Hyundai, which the doors, it's weird though. Like, I couldn't get the doors to open like that, though. You know, and the pink accessory, it just didn't really work. And mine says no time instead of showtime. That is what you call a sick car, or the kids would say a fat car, or a fat whip. They call it a whip. These kids today. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live. We're going to be hearing from Andy Reid in just a moment. And obviously the news is about the injuries. Nate Allen, his hamstring injury, if he can't play. David Sims goes with Kurt Coleman. And then I guess a third safety is Colt Anderson, which I love Colt, but he's just really not the safety that you want. He's just not moving that well yet. Darren Sproles out. And then Mike Patterson. It appears that Mike Patterson will play in this game. Who would you like to see the Eagles release? Would it be a running back? They've got four of them on the roster. I mean, you basically kind of look and say, who has been made inactive the last several weeks? That's kind of the way you look at things when you try to figure out who might be released from the 53-man roster. Andy Reid will be along momentarily. I know you guys are all on the edge of your seats waiting for that. 215-339-6709. Reminder, hot topic. Who is due for a breakout game on Monday night? It just takes a second, guys. Hit us with a little tweet. Hashtag Eagles Live. Who breaks out on Monday night against the Saints? And then the other thing we always ask from you every day of the week is to give us a fan photo. And you've been great at doing it. So let's take a look at today's winner. Later in the show, we will announce the weekly winner. And that is Dirty Phil. Your first look at him. He's flexing his bicep, I think. He's got a very, I don't know, serious look on his face, maybe agitated look on his face. We get a great look at his tats on his arm, the fridge in the background. But he looks like a very devoted Eagles fan. He's got the Nike jersey going. I believe that's a number 7. Dirty Phil, nice job, buddy. Nice job. You're today's winner at DJDPFDE, the great Dirty Phil from, I believe, from Maryland. So I'm sure he's got a lot of proud people who are following him. And there's 15 seconds of fame for Dirty Phil. He is now eligible to win the grand prize of a piece of merchandise, Eagles, autographed Eagles merchandise, if, in fact, he is named the weekly winner. That'll come in just a little bit here. Okay, the New Orleans Saints. What are they all about? Well, we go to Greg Cosell from our Game Plan show, Eagles Television Network, and Greg Cosell from NFL Films spends an awful lot of time in the film room watching teams, and he breaks down the New Orleans Saints.
Hey, don't be deceived by the Saints' 2-5 record. The fact remains that offensively, they are as multiple with their use of personnel and formations as any offense in the NFL, and very difficult to defend. There's three things you must defend when you play the Saints. You must defend the vertical seam routes from inside. You must defend crossing routes, primarily when their wide receivers are split inside the numbers, what we call minus splits. And of course, you must defend Darren Sproles. He's the movable chess piece all over the formation. Now, there's one play from a few weeks ago that's very representative of what the Saints do. It was a 40-yard pass from Drew Brees to Marcus Colston. You can see that it's two back set. They're in the straight eye. It's base offensive personnel. Notice Colston with the minus split I was talking about on the right. He's inside the numbers. Now, the concept here is very basic. The Saints do this a lot. It's what we call a three-level stretch. Notice Devery Henderson on the other side of the formation runs a vertical post route. Colston will run the intermediate crossing route. Mark Ingram out of the backfield runs the short route. A three-level stretch, they're attacking three levels of the defense. Drew Brees, when he drops back off play action, will read the safety Atari Bigby. You notice that Bigby turns and runs with Henderson. So what do you have? A wide open middle of the field for Colston on the intermediate route. Beautiful throw, beautiful design. One more very interesting part to this, and that's the pass protection. You'll notice they slide the line to the left, a full slide beginning with the right tackle. How do they pick up the pass rusher on the far right, who in this case is Sean Phillips? They pick him up with a double team. Courtney Roby, a wide receiver, and David Thomas, who's in the fullback position. That's how they take care of the front side. Beautifully executed. This is the kinds of stuff the Saints do in order to break down defenses. They focus on protection. They give Brees opportunities to get the ball to the intermediate and deeper levels. And they're very difficult to defend because of all the tight splits and the bunch concepts. It's very difficult to play press man against the Saints. You need to be a little more flexible with your approach, and the Eagles must do that in this game.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on is all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
If we said a pledge of allegiance before each game, this is what it would be. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Fight, Eagles, fight. Score a touchdown, one, two, three. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Spooktacular Cash, to win up to $50,000. It's kind of fun to get into the game. Keep on scratching.
Why spend your Sundays anywhere else than on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, where you'll see every touchdown, every bone-crushing hit, and every jaw-dropping play of the 2012 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and the post-game show presented by Rico, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
In just a few moments, Andy Reid will address the media. We'll update all the injury situation. Eagles getting ready for the not-so-easy Big Easy on Monday night. The Saints 2-5 without Darren Sproles. Don't think it's going to be easy, people. Do not think it's going to be easy. Eagles better go in there with some great urgency and take care of business against the Saints. All right, take a little step back from the importance of this football game and focus on the importance of world outside of football. Jason Kelce, the Eagles injured center, shaving off his beard this week, part of the Shave for Movember movement, which benefits prostate cancer and colon cancer, and something very important to him. Obviously, he was running that gigantic, beautiful beard. The before and after right here on Eagles Live.
Eagles fans, Jason Kelce here. It is November and Movember has officially started. Originally, I started to grow this beard at the beginning of February to get ready for the season. And the plan originally was to grow it out for the full season. But obviously my season has been cut short. So the power of the beard has been rendered useless on the field. So in a way of trying to do the best thing possible for all of humanity, I have decided to shave my beard and leave my mustache and let it grow throughout November. For those of you who don't know what Movember is a website and a organization that raises money for men's related illnesses, in particular prostate and testicular cancer. Last year they raised over $126 million worldwide. Create a profile on this website and throughout the month, people donate, knowing the money goes to charity. And anybody can do this. You just create a profile at Movember.com, and hopefully some people will be able to donate to my profile, and I can raise some money to help some people out that are in need. With that being said, let's start shaving. Said right-handed. Hey, you know, you're losing something you put in a lot of time and effort on. I used to take this little guy everywhere I went, and I feel like I'm at a funeral right now. A little upsetting. I feel like I'm like expecting there to be something there, and it's not. Like very weird, like almost as weird as my knee did when I tore my ACL.
I need to keep the remains of it, of Jay Kelce beard 2012.
This is what's left. You got like the old Western mustache kind of going on right now. Suits me well, huh? I look civilized. I don't know if civilized is the right word. It is officially done. Well, not quite. I will be going to the bathroom and clean shaving the rest of my face more. But the mustache is now there. So, you know, Eagles fans, I appreciate your support in this tough and difficult time for my beard and I. And, you know, hopefully we can raise as much money as possible for people with suffering illnesses and families that are going through cancer and everything else that is going to be benefited through this charity. So, you know, go Eagles.
I would call Jason Kelce at this point stylish, right? With that haircut, with the mustache now, the Doc Holliday mustache, and just a terrific guy. And in the big scheme of things here with this football team, losing Kelce, just a gigantic injury for the Eagles. I'm not saying Dallas Reynolds is playing poorly, but he's not playing at the level of Kelce. Matt Tennant, somebody to keep your eye on. Does he get some playing time here in the near future as the Eagles look for some competition at the center position? Dave Spadaro with you on this Saturday here at the NovaCare Complex. Eagles buzzing around the football field right now, practicing, getting ready for the Saints on Monday night. We'll hear from Andy Reid just in a few moments, so he'll update all the injuries and get you caught up on all of that as we take our camera out there and hopefully bring that to you live, which we know that you enjoy. We are going to be live again on a Monday at 8 o'clock with our kickoff show hosted by Chris McPherson along with Adam Kaplan in studio here. Bo Wolf and I will be in New Orleans at the Superdome. So it's going to be an action-packed Monday. All of our Eagles television network broadcasts will be available for you. And take a look at the lineup in case you want to watch it live in Philadelphia. I think you're going to enjoy this. Eagles Live, of course, we are live here. Oh, this is our PhiladelphiaEagles.com schedule. Yeah, that's okay. We'll do that. Leave it there. As you know, Eagles Live every day, noon to 2, Eagles Nightly, 7 o'clock. Kickoff show 30 minutes before kickoffs, halftime report, and also in-game updates. So we're going to have you covered start to finish. And then after that, the post-game show presented by Rico. It'll be Chris and Adam, hopefully, breaking down a victory. You know, on Twitter, Jason Kelce's stash has more than 1,900 followers. I find that remarkable. I don't know. It's a prodigious mustache. And he'll be back healthy next year, and it'll be great to see him back on the football field. So a couple of things that have kind of come through this week for this football team, the players-only meeting. Now, the Eagles players came in on Monday for the most part during that Hurricane Sandy, reviewed with their position coaches some things. Tuesday, Wednesday, they were off. But on Wednesday, they called a players-only meeting. Michael Vick led that. No specifics really emerging from that meeting, but I think the Eagles players appreciated the opportunity to stand up in front of their peers and kind of air out their feelings. So far, though, the week has been a smooth week and a lot of energy here at NovaCare. We'll see how that translates to Monday night's game against the Saints. 215-339-6709. Let's get back to the phones. Phones have been busy today, just haven't had a chance to get to them. So let's hear from Ray from Kentucky. Hi, Ray.
Good morning, Dave.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Everything good?
Yeah, everything good. Are you taking predictions today?
Yes, sir.
I want to say 24-17 Eagles.
Hey, Ray, do you see this as a game that's kind of a make or break for this football team?
I'm hoping we come out with a win, Dave, because, I mean, Vic, everybody wants to put everything on Vic. And I don't think it's Vic. I think everybody knows what they've got to do to be. I mean, they've got to rush you. They know with every game that they've got to rush you. And I think that they put more pressure on him than any other quarterback in the league, I believe. I think they throw his game off like that.
Well.
So I think the line needs to try to somehow or another, or maybe we need to leave somebody in to help block. Or.
Well, I think they've done that. I'm interested to see what Michael Vick does here, Ray. Does he run more? Does he come off his reads and take off? And and make plays, more plays with his legs. I'm interested to see what he does in this ballgame. He's said he wants to get back to being the old Michael Vick.
But I know, you know, early in the season, he was holding on the ball too long.
I think he holds on to the ball too long a lot. I think he's trying to go through his reads and trying to see. To me, you have to kind of trust your student and throw the ball before they come open and give them a chance to make a catch. And I think that's what Vic has to do. That's more important than running the football. I think he needs to throw the football and let his receivers have a chance to make a catch instead of waiting until they're open.
But are the receivers getting open, though, Dave? That's what I'm trying to wonder. I know Macklem, I don't know. I'm not seeing him open like they used to as far as.
Yeah, but you don't see that. You see the TV part of the game. I do. I think the receivers are open, yeah.
Because I know he's still got a cannon. I mean, he still throw that ball good. Because I've never seen him throw to Deshaun Jackson deep anymore like we used to.
Well, he did against Detroit, and it was intercepted. I mean, so he has. We haven't seen it work a whole lot, but the Ravens game, I mean, look, agreed. They got to throw it down the field. They've got to throw the ball quickly, get the ball out of his hands. And big game on Monday night. Ray, where do you watch the game?
At home.
Okay, yeah, by yourself?
My brother-in-law, we all get together over here, and we decorate the house and tailgate there at the house. And
nice.
I always have to put my Eagle flag up in the yard. So,
what are your neighbors? What teams are they fans of? The Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, we live out. We got like 80 acres in between us and 40 acres in. So we really have got no neighbors. A lot of guys at work, they're a lot of like a Dallas fan or a Titans fan. They always give me crap every time I go to work.
When we win the Super Bowl, Ray, we expect to have a big party on your 40 acres.
Yeah. All right. More welcome.
All right. Well,
more welcome.
Let's talk about it. We'll organize that. All right, man?
All right, buddy.
All right, brother.
I'm open next year. My goal is next year, Dave, to come to Philadelphia.
Well, if you
one of the things I've done, told my wife, I'm coming to Philadelphia. I want to go to Lincoln Financial Field, and I want to see, you know, the link.
We will have a good time, man. You make sure you get in touch with me about that.
I will, bud.
All right, Ray, thanks.
All right, thank you, Dave. You got it.
80 acres, 40 acres. Man, has my backyard's like this big. All right, our fan photo winner of the week. Let's get to it. We thank everyone who sent in their fan photos. The winner receives a piece of autographed Eagles merchandise. Let's take a look at our winner, shall we? Drum roll, please. The winner of the week, I mean, how can you turn this man down? The real EDP 445. You're the winner! So I'm sure you'll be getting in touch with me on Twitter. That's a great look, man. It's a great, great look. Fearsome. Congratulations to the real EDP 445. Okay, Nnamdi Asamoah, Eagles cornerback, talks a little bit about the matchup against the Saints. He and Bo Wolf from our Eagles nightly studio. Let's take a look at what Nnamdi has to say. And then right on the heels of that, Andy Reid will meet the media in just a few moments.
Welcome back to Eagles Nightly here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf and Eagles cornerback Nnamdi Asamoah. And Nnamdi, I want to start with what we heard about the players-only meeting that Michael Vick told us about. You know, I'm not going to ask you what was said, but what does that sort of do? Does it help to bring guys together? Does it help to hear guys air out some of the grievances that they have?
I think even more than what is said at those meetings, I think just the fact that you have one of those meetings, it's kind of like something that gets every player kind of realizing, look, we have to get this thing going, you know, right now. You know, it's those meetings happen when you're in a position like you're in. You know, we're 3-4, and we need to turn it around. And, it's the effort. It's not like the effort isn't there, but I think, you know, guys just want to get some things off their chest and know that we should be more focused with what we're doing, and then we'll get the results that we want. So I just, having those meetings, the biggest thing is having the meeting. Obviously, what you say is going to be great, and it can be very beneficial. But you know, just the fact that you have the meeting kind of tells people, let's get going.
When you hear guys say stuff like, we're too good to be 3-4. We're too good to lose three games in a row. Do you think you know, right now we are what our record says. We have to go out on the field and prove how good we are.
100%. But we all feel that way. You don't want to sit and look on paper and look at, you know, who we have and blah, 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 and what we've done. None of that matters except for what happens on Sunday and what goes on throughout the week in practice. So we feel like we have to prove it. I mean, no one's going to hand it to you. You can go through this whole season and be 0-16 with the best players. It doesn't matter. You got to go out and win games, bottom line.
Last week, obviously not a great debut for Todd Bowles in terms of how the defense did. I think scores on the first six drives for the Falcons. Was it just a case of them lining up and beating you guys one-on-one or something else?
No, I mean, they got some plays on us, but to be honest, they got very few plays on us when you look at the grand scheme of it, and it's just those moments, those big plays or those penalties that we have at the wrong time, you know, those things are the things that we have to cut down no matter what. I mean, there were some times when we could have gotten off the field and we were getting some penalties, and you might get one or two of those, but it seemed like we kept getting them.
Yeah.
And kind of put us in a hole, and then big plays put us in, you know, it's just tough, but we understand that there wasn't anything that they did that was, you know, out of this world that we couldn't have stopped.
When, you know, as a cornerback, you have to have a short memory, obviously. When you get beat by Julio Jones down there, now, you know, that's not a place you've been much in your career.
Right.
Is it tough to come back from that, or is that strictly, you know, you learn from it and then apply moving forward?
Yeah, definitely not a place I've been too much. But the thing is, you do have to have that short memory. I think as a cornerback, you learn very early that the next play then becomes the most important play, you know, and it's how you bounce back and the next things that happen. So you don't lose any confidence in those situations. And look, we play against good players, you know, every now and then somebody's going to make a play, and we know that if we're competing, if we're giving the effort that we need, you know, hopefully the things work out for us, you know. So something like that, you definitely have to have a short memory and just kind of go on to the next play and see how you can take it back.
This week, another big offensive challenge, Drew Brees and the Saints. They have so many weapons on offense, and Drew Brees is so good at getting rid of the ball quickly. Does that change what you guys have to do on defense at all?
There might be a couple different things that you do on defense, but it shouldn't cause for a drastic change of the defense. I think there's things that we've done well throughout the year that we can still do that can definitely be beneficial against Drew Brees or against any other quarterback. And you know, he's got a command of his offense, and we've been studying the film to try to figure out exactly what he's seeing and see how we can get a jump on it.
Is there something that makes him so good against the blitz and getting rid of the ball so quickly?
I mean, what makes him good against the blitz is the fact that he gets rid of the ball quickly, you know. So that's his thing. He doesn't hold it very long. They do take their shots down the field, but, you know, he's been a guy that throughout his career, he knows where the outlet is, you know, and he understands where the quick route is that can get him, that can get the ball out of his hands before the blitz gets there. So we just have to come out and fight, and we should be fine.
All right, let's turn the page to this week's Bird on a Wire. Last week, we dropped a bomb, went Michael Vick and Omar Little. This week, let's go with one of the soldiers, guy who's I think is one of the more interesting characters, Slim Charles.
I liked Slim Charles. You know, I liked his character from beginning to end. You kind of saw how he grew throughout the series.
Yep.
You know, he started maybe as like one of the little, you know, he was on the corner.
He was a muscle guy.
And then he worked his way up. And,
he grew physically, too. He got from really skinny to a little bit wider.
Physically, and so the guy that we thought matched that was Cullen Jenkins.
I like this.
Because Cullen, in the same way, grew physically, started to become a force the more and more he was in the league and the more experience that he had. He came in. I don't know, was he undrafted, I think?
Undrafted, went to NFL Europe, So, you know, he lasted longer. He's had a great career, lasted longer than you probably thought in the beginning. Sort of like Slim Charles, I think.
And like Slim Charles, because there were a couple times I thought, you know, I don't know where they're going with Slim Charles' character. He might be gone pretty soon. And then all the way up until the end, Slim Charles is still there.
Yeah, you know? Well, Slim, that adaptability, because Slim goes from working for Avon to working for Prop Joe. Cullen Jenkins, scheme versatile, has been playing in a 3-4 and a 4-3, successful in both during his career. I think that counts for both their sakes.
Being able to work in whatever scheme, or no matter who your coach is, or no matter who's in charge, you know, still being able to be one of the loyal, you know, veteran guys, that's Cullen, and that's definitely Slim.
So this week's trivia question, we're going to go to the last episode of the series, when Slim kills the last person that he kills on the show. First of all, who is it? That's the easy part. The second part, what are the four words he says afterwards when he's questioned about it? All right, so that does it for this week's Bird on a Wire. Thanks again to Nnamdi Asomugha for dropping by. We've got more on the other side on this Friday edition of Eagles Nightly.
All righty, Dave Spadaro with you in our Xfinity studio here at the NovaCare Complex. Thanks to Nnamdi. And thanks to Bo. Good luck to Nnamdi on Monday night. Just about ready for Andy Reid's press conference, press briefing. It's not really a press conference. It's him coming off the field. And as we take a look at the bubble, and we should be thrown into this very shortly. We got the back of somebody's hair. Wow, we're live. Little live bugger. See the players coming off the field there, guys. Pretty fired up. Let's hear what Andy Reid has to say about the injuries, etc. 215-339-6709. Actually, we're not going to take any more phone calls. We're done. Andy Reid is up now.
All right, let me give you these injuries here. So we've got Nate Allen, who's got a hamstring strain. He did not practice today. It's a day-by-day. I mean, we're going to take it all the way up to game day. We'll see how he does. Marty Gilliard is out, and Danny Watkins is out with the ankle. So everybody else practiced, and we'll be ready to go. Michael Patterson practiced. I'll get with Howie, talk to him. I wanted to make sure we got through this practice. I had an opportunity to see him. I'm going to talk with Mike Patterson once I get done with this and see how he, make sure he did okay. It looked like he did, so, and then we'll go from there. But I've not made any moves, and you guys will be the first to know when we do. Look forward to playing New Orleans. Tough place to play. Our guys are prepared hard. They understand that. We've worked a couple days of noise here, which is important when you go down there, and the guys are comfortable with that, so we go play. Time, George.
Andy, when do you have until to make a decision on Patterson? When will he need to be activated by him?
Well, we'll get it done today. We'll get that. It'll be knocked out today one way or another. I've just got to, we've got another day to do that. So, but I've got to, I just want to make sure that everything's okay with him.
How's he look physically?
Yeah, you know what? He did a good job. He moved around well, and there were no symptoms from the surgery that he had with his head and brain. So he's felt good. He's felt good all the way through workouts, and then once he came out here, he's felt good.
Is he at the point where he could go out and play a bunch of snaps, or would you have to bring him along slowly?
Yeah, I think you'd probably monitor how many snaps he plays. You're not going to put him in there and have him go the whole game. Which our guys don't do anyway. So, but you definitely monitor how he's doing.
If Nate can't go, David Sims would be the guy.
Yeah, Sims is the one who worked in there. Yeah.
How did he look in practice?
He looked pretty good. Yeah, he did a nice job. I think he feels comfortable with the defense. He feels comfortable with the calls that he has to make back there. It looked like he had good communication. So, if he's got to do it, I think everybody's got confidence that he can do it.
Is Watkins getting better, or is he just kind of there?
No, well, he's got the high ankle sprain component there, so it's it is sore. It's not as much straight ahead working as it is as lateral working, and so so straight ahead he's getting better. You know, I mean, he feels pretty comfortable doing that. Laterally, it's still pretty tender. Can't plant on it. Can't plant and redirect. And playing that position, you got to be able to do that.
You expect New Orleans to go after Dennis, a little bit of funnel pressure there, and now that there's film on him and they saw him play against Atlanta.
Well, you know what? He held his own against Atlanta. So you know, I don't know if that's the area they would go. Maybe they test that. I mean, they kind of test every position with their blitz game, and they're pretty sophisticated there. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Nate will travel, and you'll make a
Nate will travel, yeah. Yeah, right now that's what I'm looking at, yeah, unless there's something crazy happens, but right now that's what I'm looking at.
Is he kind of the same as yesterday? He said he couldn't run. Did he even try to jog?
Yeah, he didn't run today either. Yeah, we're just giving him treatment and seeing what he can do there.
There's a report that one of the things that Michael wanted to discuss with you was his feeling that some of the assistants wanted him replaced, that they didn't want him starting.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, I didn't hear, I don't know where that would come from. That's not the case. No, I mean, guys are, everybody's on board with Michael, and have been. So.
Can you talk about Breeze, how tough it is to sack him because of how quickly he gets rid of the ball? And is there anything you guys can work on with that? Or?
Well, you got to try to get there as fast as you can and try to put some form of pressure on him. But, he does. He gets the ball out very fast. One of the best in the business against the blitz, against the straight pressure, and great timing quarterback. Does a great job with that.
And have you sensed anything from Trent Paul? This is probably the first time in his career where there have been criticism about maybe he's getting too old, maybe he's starting to lose a step. Do you sense in him that he's hearing that or that he's driven?
Listen, Trent Cole, since he's been here, has one speed. I mean, it's the same way in practice as it is in the game. It is 110%. And I haven't seen any loss of step or loss of movement or anything there. He is... He knows one speed, and that's how he goes, and does it the whole game. He doesn't take plays off. There's no.
How about with Jason? Is there an explanation for?
Same way with Babin. Yep. Same way with Babin.
Do you have a theory on maybe why his sacks are down this year?
Well, listen, these guys are getting chipped quite a little bit, which is understandable. Both of them are. You asked about Babin. Same thing there. So. But you got to work through it and just keep pushing. The thing you can't do is pull off, and neither one of those two are wired that way. So they'll keep pushing, and you know, eventually it'll work out for them.
Did you see he has big targets out there? Gives some guys to find. Marcus Colson, especially mm-hmm. Jeremy Grant. How's your linebacking core going to deal with a guy like him? I mean, obviously we saw Tony Gonzalez. Awesome. We've seen some big tight ends.
Yeah, listen, both those two are one's a wide receiver, one's a tight end, and both of them are very good. And you've got to. You know, make sure you maintain leverage and work your jams and so on.
But covering specifically the tight end, Graham, does that present a special challenge, you think, for this linebacker?
Well, he's a pretty good player, yeah. I mean, he's one of the top tight ends in the league, so receiving tight ends in particular. I mean, he can really do that. So you got to make sure that you stay disciplined and use your techniques and fundamentals and be aggressive when needed. So.
You think you'll throw an Omdi on him a little bit?
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I might be wrong, but it seems like you haven't done 2 days of crowd noise in the past. You would just do Friday. Why'd you do 2 days?
We haven't had it for a while, so I want to just make sure we got in and got it. That's a loud place. That's one of the louder places in the league, and I just want to make sure the guys are comfortable with it and confident with it, and so we did it.
Did you do special teams with crowd noise? Is that new?
We did a little bit of special teams with it, just for the punt protection. Right. Yeah, that was important. And then the field goal protection. So we've done field goal protection that way before. We haven't done the punt protection.
Is part of that having a lot of new guys in the O-line?
Just making sure. They give you a few different looks there, so you want to just make sure you can pick it up. It's like pass protection there. You want to make sure that you take care of that.
How do you feel about players-only meetings? I guess Michael called one the other day.
Yeah, players have had those throughout my time here, and really every team I've ever been on, and I think it's a positive thing. I think it gives them a time to, express their feelings to one another, all together in one room, and I think that's very positive. I try to keep open communication. I want them to talk. I think that's that can be a healthy thing.
Where do you think Mike's confidence is going into this game, given the way the first seven have gone for him?
Yeah, I think Mike's confident. Yeah, I think he feels pretty good going into this. He's prepared very hard for it, so I think he's confident going in.
Okay.
All right. Okay. You want to just rest that on my chest?
All right. That is head coach Andy Reid. And the update here is that Nate Allen not practicing today. He will make the trip to New Orleans, likely listed as questionable. If he can't go, David Sims gets the start. Danny Watkins, Marty Gilliard officially out. Dennis Kelly makes a second consecutive start at right guard. And Demaris Johnson returns punts as the Eagles get ready for Monday Night Football against the Saints at the Superdome. We'll be there every step of the way. Make sure you tune in all day, every day, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Dave Spadaro saying thanks for joining us on this special Saturday edition of Eagles Live. Everyone, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Everybody working, I challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for you.